The United States has an insatiable appetite for conflict, and since going into Korea in the 1950s, it's been at war with someone or other in some corner of the globe non-stop right up to the present day. This drive is now led by the weapons manufacturers themselves. It is a highly dangerous precedent. I call it war corporatism. It is the door of a new fascism being pushed open. And don't be fooled, not all fascism looks like Adolf Hitler.
This week in Radical History for the week starting February 2nd.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
On this day, February 2nd in 1848, a treaty was signed which ceded even more of Mexico to the U.S. Known as the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, named after the chapel and the town in which it was signed, Mexico ceded nearly 55% of its total land area, and the people who lived on that land, to the United States, for a mere $15 million. The newly annexed area included all of California, Nevada, and Utah, and Colorado, most of Arizona, and much of New Mexico, and even a portion of Wyoming. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
Also on February 2nd, 1905, Ayn Rand lives. Right-wing dandy, author of The Fountainhead and the philosophy exploiting greed in individual acts without consciousness. She'd later be reincarnated as Ann Coulter. Okay, I'm really not sure about that part. Maybe it was Rush Limbaugh or Dick Cheney. Also on February 2nd, 1931, as the Depression worsens, public officials across the Southwest decide it would be cheaper to send legal residents back to Mexico than to carry them on the welfare rolls. During the decade's first 4 years, well over 400,000 Mexican-Americans, many U.S. citizens living here as long as 40 years, are repatriated. Some families, as a result, are split because the father or mother or both would be considered alien. Also on February 2nd, 1951, the first 4 of 7 blacks convicted of raping a Martinsville, Virginia white woman are executed. By some odd anomaly, to this date only one white has ever been executed for raping in Virginia's glorious history. Lastly, on this date in 1972 in Ireland, 3 days after 13 unarmed civilian rights demonstrators were shot to death by British paratroopers in Northern Ireland, outraged Irish citizens burned down the British embassy in Dublin. This week in Radical History for February 3rd, 1892 in Argentina, U.S. Marines land in Buenos Aires to protect American interests. Also on February 3rd, 1909, French philosopher, syndicalist Simone Weil lives. Her passionate need to share with the suffering of others led her to fight with the anarchists in the Spanish Revolution. Writers as diverse as T.S. Eliot and Albert Camus declare her one of our century's foremost thinkers. Quote, "As I worked in the factory, the affliction of others entered into my flesh and my soul. There I received forever the mark of a slave, like the branding of a red-hot iron which the Romans put on the forehead of their most despised slaves. Since then I have always regarded myself as a slave." Simone Weil. Another outstanding woman in 1910, Mary Harris Mother Jones addresses Milwaukee brewery workers. Mother Jones spent 2 months working alongside women bottle washers in one of the breweries. Her report of the working conditions went like this. "Condemned to slave daily in the washroom in wet shoes and wet clothes, surrounded with foul-mouthed, brutal foremen, the poor girls worked in the vile smell of sour beer, lifting cases of empties and full bottles weighing from 100 to 115 pounds in their wet shoes and rags, for they could not buy clothes on the pittance doled out to them. Rheumatism was one of the many chronic ailments and is closely followed by consumption." Mother Jones. Also on February 3rd, 1912, 32,000 Bread and Roses strike in Lawrence, Massachusetts. The Bread and Roses strike began last month and lasts for over 9 weeks. Despite collusion by the government and mill owners and their hired goons, strikers would not waver, even when 18-year-old Syrian worker John Ramey was killed, and another woman and her 2 sisters were arrested and dragged from their beds in the middle of the night. An Italian woman would suggest, "Tomorrow morning, men no go to picket line. All men, boys stay home, sleep. Only woman, girl on picket line tomorrow morning. Soldier and policeman will not beat girl woman. You see, I got big belly. She too got big belly. Policeman not beat us." The next morning the women were out in full force. only to be beaten so badly that Italian women who spoke at the meeting and another pregnant striker lose their babies and almost die. Lastly, on this date, in 1964, 464,000 students, that's about 45% of the entire student population, boycott NYC schools to protest segregation. This week in radical history for February 4th, 1899 in the Philippines, a U.S. sentry shoots Filipino soldier, sparking a revolt against U.S. occupation. The islands become a U.S. colony following the Spanish-American War. The most barbaric forms of torture and interrogation, as well as scorched-earth military tactics and brutal reconcentration of civilians, were used. Filipino historians estimate that more than 300,000 Filipinos, mostly civilians, perish as a result of the American genocidal policies. Also on February 4, 1956, white students riot at the University of Alabama against court-ordered admission of the first black student. Also on that date in 1972, Senator Strom Thurmond asks Attorney General John Mitchell to deport John Lennon as an undesirable alien. Lastly, on February 4, 1985, 20 countries, but not the U.S. under the Ronald Reagan regime, signed a UN treaty outlawing torture. And we saw after 9/11 how much torture is in vogue in America. This week in radical history for February 5th, 1631 in the New World, Roger William, pioneer of religious tolerance, arrives in North America. Hated by the Fundies, in 1647, he'll help establish a colony on Rhode Island, and the liberty of consciousness was proclaimed. The area had briefly become a safe haven for people who were persecuted for their beliefs, like the Quakers or the Jews, and for others who want to follow their consciousness of peace and safety. On May 18, 1652, Rhode Island would pass the first law in North America making slavery illegal. Also on February 5, 1923 in Italy, more mass arrests of socialists, anarchists, and communists occur. Also on that date in 1937, in an attempt to issue rulings favorable to his administration, Franklin Delano Roosevelt requests authority to enlarge and, quote, pack, unquote, the Supreme Court. Also on February 5, 1993, Anthony Summers, a biographer of J. Edgar Hoover, says that he was a homosexual and blackmailed by the mafia for it. Lastly on this date in 2003, U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell presents the U.S. evidence against Iraq to the U.N. Security Council. Most pieces of evidence turn out to be fabricated and a pack of lies. This is not the first time Paul rolled over for his president. As then first lieutenant in Vietnam, Paul was the initial investigating officer on the My Lai massacre and started the cover-up. This week in radical history for February 6, 1864, gay individual anarchist, novelist, poet John Henry Mackay lives. Quote six lines of his, I give thee to the future thine secure. When each at least unto himself shall waken, comes it in sunshine, in the tempest thrill. I cannot tell, but it the earth shall see. I am an anarchist, wherefore I will not rule, and also ruled I will not be. Also on the state in 1943, the U.S. orders 110,000 Japanese Americans imprisoned in internment camps and to answer loyalty question surveys. Question number 27 asks draft age men, are you willing to serve in the United States forces in a combat duty wherever ordered? Also on this date in 1950, Republicans adapt the 1950 slogan, quote, liberty against socialism, unquote. Now, a whole 59 years later, they're still fighting this ancient fight.
Why would I want him to succeed? Go back, look at, he's my president. If he gets nationalized health care, I mean, it's over, Sean. That's the end of America as we have known it. Why would I want that to succeed? So I shamelessly say no. I want him to fail.
Nice slogan. Two more items for February 6, 1976 in Canada. Native American activist Leonard Peltier is captured on the basis of fictitious affidavits generated by the FBI. Federal prosecutors later admit they didn't have a clue who committed the crime they convicted Peltier for. The FBI is often fondly referred to, because of its criminal conduct in cases like this, as the Federal Bureau of Fabrication. Lastly, talking about weapons of mass destruction dealers, on this date in 1996, the government admits that to this date it has shipped plutonium to 39 countries over the last 59 years, including Israel, South Africa, Iran, and Iraq. So what now? Do we invade ourselves? This week in radical history for February 7th, 1885. Germany's August Reinsdorf is executed by decapitation in Berlin. An anarchist and close friend of Johann Most, he is implicated in attempts on the life of Kaiser Wilhelm and his merry band of princes. Reinsdorf's last parting words were, I have nothing to repent, only that the attempt failed. If I had 10 heads, I would offer them with joy and lay them on the block for the good cause. Lastly, in a state in 1968, after America and South Vietnamese air and artillery strikes level the city of Ben Tri, South Vietnam, population of 50,000, a U.S. Army major explains that, quote, it became necessary to destroy the town to save it, unquote.
That when we talk about war, we're really talking about peace.
War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength.
This Week in Radical History for February 8, 1851, American feminist writer Kate Choplin lives. Also on this date in 1887, President Cleveland signs the Dawes Land Allotment Act, dissolving Indian tribes as legal entities. It distributes territories held in common by American Indian nations to individual families. Each family will get up to 160 acres. The act ultimately results in a loss of tens of millions of acres of treaty land, driving a nail in the coffin of tribal culture. The congressional committee that proposed the law said it had several goals. The commune shall give way to the dignity and rights of American citizens. The heathen idol shall give place to the Christian altars, and the tribal organization shall be broken up and the individuality of Indian encouraged and developed, and the lands necessary reserved for them open to the pioneer, so that intelligence and thrift may find lodging there. Also on February 8, 1921 in Russia, the anarchist prince Milton Peter Potemkin dies. Lenin offers a state funeral and burial in the Kremlin Wall, which was refused by his family and comrades. Lastly, in 1988, a panel of international historians issue a report finding that Austrian Kurt Waldheim knew of war crimes committed by his World War II units, and that he concealed and misrepresented his service during the war. He, of course, would later be rewarded as the Secretary General of the United Nations. Why not? We got a former Nazi Pope. Why not this? That's it for This Week in Radical History, produced at the Mobile Fortress of Glee Glee Studios. Inspiration for the segment came from the Slingshot Organizer, and a lot of radical info can be found at the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. This week's ending song is dedicated to Kitty Cutthroat, the most rad person I know. So until next week's edition, a reminder that I'm always and forever yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
Tough guy, huh?
Sleep now. It'll hurt less in the morning.